This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, once again and always, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every opportunity that He gives us to remember Him and to be from amongst those who get together in the house of Allah to remember Allah and to learn more about the deen of Allah and the Prophets and the Messengers of Allah. That are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبُهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Allah is referring to the Prophets and the Messengers that are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided, so follow their guidance. Allah wants you to follow the Prophets and the Messengers, in particular your beloved Prophet and Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's one of the blessings of Allah upon us as Muslims, that we don't have to go and search for someone for us to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already chosen the best of people for us to follow, and that are the Prophets and Messengers. So all you gotta do is just follow a Prophet and a Messenger. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this to be from the nation of the greatest man, the best of people, the greatest of examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ever created, and that's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, we continue to talk about Prophets and Messengers from Bani Israel. And we'll continue to talk about more about Prophets and Messengers from Bani Israel. And who is Israel? Israel is Prophet Yaqub. So Yaqub alayhi salam had another name, and his other name was Israel. And what does Israel mean? It means the servant of Allah. Like how we call people these days, Abdullah. How many are Abdullah? I know you call him in Australia Abdu. Okay, now it's Abdullah. And Abdullah means the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Israel in their language means the servant of Allah. Israel is Yaqub, Yaqub is Israel. And Yaqub had 12 children. From those 12 children, the nation of Bani Israel stems from. And then we spoke after Yaqub, we spoke about Yusuf alayhi salam, and we dwelled so long in the story of Musa alayhi salam, about 9 episodes. And then we spoke about Yusha, and last week we spoke about Al-Yasa and Elias. They're all prophets from Bani Israel. And inshallah next week we'll talk about Dawood and Sulaiman. They're also prophets from Bani Israel. And then after that inshallah we're going to talk about other prophets and messengers, including Isa alayhi salam. They are all prophets from Bani Israel. So Bani Israel is a race, but their religion is what? Islam. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-Islam. The only religion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. So prophets like Yusuf, who's from Bani Israel, Musa, Harun, from Bani Israel, Elias and Yusha that we spoke about last week, they're all from Bani Israel. And today we're going to talk about a prophet, his name Shamuel. They're all prophets from Bani Israel. And next week we're going to talk about Dawood and Sulaiman, prophets from Bani Israel. These are prophets and messengers that Allah sent. Allah sent them to call to what religion? To Islam. Their religion is Islam. So Bani Israel is a Muslim nation. They are not Arabs. They are a race called Israeli, from Sam, Semitics. And that's why you hear anti-Semitic or anti-Semitism. And you know Arabs are also from Sam. So Arabs are also Semitics. That are from the children of Sam. Who's Sam? He is the son of Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Bani Israel with a kingdom, but more importantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with so many prophets and messengers. No nation had ever been blessed with as many prophets and messengers as much as Bani Israel. Thousands of prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them. The Arabs had only 4 Arab prophets. Salih, Hud, Shu'aib, and who? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bani Israel has thousands of prophets and messengers. They'll have at one given time maybe four prophets. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them and took them out of the punishment of the wandering, we spoke about it, the teeth of 40 years that were lost on earth, Bani Israel, in the leadership of Yusha, he came after Musa alayhi salam, they've invaded and conquered Jerusalem, which is the promised land and the holy land. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Bani Israel with prophecy and kingdom. Before that, they were lost. They had prophets and messengers amongst them. They had Musa alayhi salam and Harun, but they were lost. They didn't even have a land. But then after Musa alayhi salam, and after they came out of the punishment for 40 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with a prophet, Yusha, and a kingdom. Prophet and a kingdom. And at one stage, the prophet is the king. The prophet is the king, which means the prophet is the leader. And Yusha alayhi salam, and during his time, which was a pinnacle time for Bani Israel, a very prosperous time for Bani Israel, Yusha alayhi salam was the prophet, the messenger of Allah, and he was the leader of Bani Israel. But Bani Israel became so ridiculous, so mischievous, so sinister and evil, they start to kill their prophets. They'll sacrifice a prophet for the sake of Allah. You know what? Today we're going to worship Allah. What are you going to do? We're going to go and kill a prophet for the sake of Allah. Kill a prophet for the sake of Allah? How does that work? It's like someone goes and robs a bank for the sake of Allah to go and build a masjid. It just doesn't work. So it came at one point where Bani Israel were killing prophets and messengers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. They'll constantly kill prophets and messengers. On the top of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless them with prophets and messengers. And the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in Surah Yasin, فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We sent them three prophets. They were given three prophets at one given time in one era. A blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did they do? They killed and killed. Killing prophets became a habit. Why? Because as I mentioned to you, Yusha alayhi salam is a prophet and messenger from Bani Israel. He was the prophet and he was what? The leader. After Yusha, the leadership was split in one family and the prophecy was in another family. So kings, the kings of Bani Israel are from one tribe, from one of those 12 tribes of Bani Israel, from the tribe of Yahud. And the prophets from another tribe. So from Yusha alayhi salam, he was the last prophet and messenger. There was a prophet and messenger and the king, if you want to call him. The king of Bani Israel, the leader of Bani Israel. After Yusha alayhi salam, Bani Israel started to cause a lot of mischief. They started to cause a lot of evilness and they started to commit sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to send upon them punishments. And part of those punishments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to send on them nations. Especially the gigantic nation that we'll talk about. And they were led by Goliath, that we'll talk about him inshallah in our story tonight. And they start to attack Bani Israel. So Bani Israel, after they were united, they became divided. And after the leadership and the prophecy was in one, it became divided. It never reunited until the time of Dawood alayhi salam, where he became the king and the prophet once again. But that's not a story tonight. Our story is paving to Dawood alayhi salam. So now after Yusha alayhi salam, for centuries, Bani Israel had prophets. The prophets were one thing, and they were despised in the community, unfortunately. And the kings used to pick on the prophets and the messengers, and they used to kill the prophets and the messengers. So Bani Israel became divided, disunited. It became in chaos, to the extent they lost the most sacred thing they had. What did they have? They had something called tabut. Tabut in Arabic means a coffin or a chest. A coffin or a chest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the tabut in the Quran al-Kareem. فِيهِ بَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ. Tabut, which is a chest, a coffin. In that coffin, narration says, so the coffin does exist 100% because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention of that coffin. In that coffin, narrations narrate, it had the stick of Musa. You know that stick that used to turn into a snake, and Musa alayhi salam struck the sea with that stick, and then it exploded and erupted in two big mountains of water that they walked through the sea. It had a garment of Musa alayhi salam. It had the tablets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam. And it had few other things. Baqiyatun mimma taraka alu Musa wa alu Harun. These are verse. It had few other things, few other items that Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam had left behind. What's so significant about that chest and about that coffin? Allah used to bless them with a victory. So whenever they used to go out in jihad and fight against any enemy, whenever they used to be in a combat, that chest used to come with them. They used to carry it. And it used to inspire them. And when they used to see it from far, they used to get motivated. And Allahu Akbar, they used to fight and win. But after they continued to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn on their prophets, their enemy took that tabut. Their enemy took that chest and that coffin away from them. So they lost their morale. They became very demotivated. They've lost hope. For years, Bani Israel had lost hope. They were despondent, despaired. No more hope. No leadership. Prophets and messengers have been disrespected and despised, divided, disunited. And the biggest hope and inspiration they used to have, which is that chest and that coffin, is taken away from them by the Amaliq. What's an Amaliq? The big, gigantic people who are later on known to be Goliath, Jalut, and his army. We're like the Palestinians. Not Palestinians, what you call these days, but in that region. So you could imagine, after Bani Israel and after Yusha alayhi salam, and during the time of Yusha alayhi salam, which is after the time of Musa alayhi salam, how Bani Israel became very well established. Now they became very unstable, in chaos. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 244. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُ النَّبِيِّ لَهُمْ إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, haven't you seen to the children of Israel, after Musa, when they had spoken to the Prophet and Messenger, there wasn't an era, there wasn't a time, during the time of Bani Israel, they never had the Prophet and Messenger. They always had the Prophet and Messenger. But at one stage, the Prophet was the leader. Then it became divided. And then they became divided amongst each other. Then when they lost that chest and that coffin, they became so despised. They became so dishonorable. They became so weak. So we're talking about a very weak, unstable time for Bani Israel. No leadership. Prophets and messengers are not listened to. So Allah's talking about that time, which came after Musa alayhi salam. When the nation of Bani Israel, when they spoken to their prophet, إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيِّ اللَّهِ, so they had a prophet. What's the name of that prophet? Prophet Shamuel or Shamron. Shamuel and Shamron, another name is Ismail. It's a Jewish Hebrew. It's a Jewish or a Hebrew. We didn't say Hebrew because Jews didn't even exist. We believe Jews didn't even exist at that time. Judaism took place later on. So it's a Hebrew name. Shamuel or Prophet Shamuel or Prophet Shamron. And another name for Shamuel is Ismail. So they had a prophet, his name is Prophet Shamuel. That Bani Israel went up to him and said, you know, we've lost hope. Anything, any possibility that we can regroup and regain our honor and respect once again the way we used to be in the past? The untouchables, the most respectful, and the most honorable nation on the face of this earth. Look at us. We are so divided, so disunited, unstable, no establishment. We are fighting amongst each other, and our enemy doesn't fear us anymore. We are fighting amongst each other. So Bani Israel had reached rock bottom to the extent they went to their prophet and messenger and said, something needs to be done. إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Ask your Lord to send upon us a king. See now, prophecy is one thing, kingdom or kingship is something else. Or Prophet Shamuel, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send to us a king that can regroup us and reunite us once again and fight under him. Nuqatil fi sabilillah, and let us fight one more time for the sake of Allah. ملكا نقاتل في سبيل الله. قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا. So their prophet, Prophet Shammah replied back to them, and he said, I'm concerned, I fear, that if I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reunite once again under one king, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains upon you and commands you to find his path, you won't listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You disobey Allah azza wa jal. You ask Allah to send you a king, and you made a pledge, you vowed, that if Allah sends you a king, you'll fight under the leadership of that king for the sake of Allah. And when Allah sends you a king and Allah ordains upon you to fight, you're not going to fight anymore. So they said, قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. Why should we fight with him and fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? And we've been kicked out of, we've been exiled out of our own homes, and our children have been killed. In other words, we've got nothing to lose. We've got nothing to lose. It's not going to get worse than this. We are rock bottom. This is the worst situation that we've ever encountered and experienced. So if Allah sends us a king and reunites us under him, and Allah commands us to fight, we're going to fight with him because we've got nothing to lose. We've already lost everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a king, and Allah ordained upon them to fight his path, تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Most of them turned away from him except a small portion of people. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the oppressors and the transgressors. Bani Israel at that time, some narrations say they exceeded a million. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited them under one king, only 8,000 stood by him. From a million. From a million, not 50%, not even 10%. 0.8%. Precisely. 0.8%. Most of them came to Prophet Shammah said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains upon us to fight in his path, we will fight. When Allah did so, the vast majority, 99% of them, did not adhere to what they had agreed to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited them under a man. What's this man? قال لهم نبيهم إن الله قد بعث لكم طالوت ملكا. Allah is the one that chose your king from amongst you, not me. Allah chose me. I'm the prophet and the messenger of Allah, and you all know I'm prophet and messenger of Allah. But your king is not chosen by me, he's chosen by Allah. Which means what? No objection. If Allah chose him, you follow him. If I chose him, you know what? Fair enough, come and argue with me. But if Allah said, this is the man that I wanted to be your king, you shut your mouth and you follow. So who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a man, not from the progeny, not from the offspring of Yehuda. Usually the kings come from the Yehuda tribe. There were 12 children from Bani Israel. So Bani Israel were divided into 12 tribes. And usually the kingship is in one tribe, the tribe of Yehud. But this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Talut to be their king, and Talut comes from the tribe of Binyamin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah had chosen Talut. Allah had chosen Talut. Jews call him Saul. S-A-U-L. Saul. That's the name that the Jews name him. But we know him as Talut. So he's been mentioned in the Bible and he's been mentioned in the Old Testament. Let's stick to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him. Talut. Talut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem that their prophet told them Allah had chosen for you. So who's the one that chose him? Allah. Allah had chosen for you. Taluta Malika. Allah had chosen Talut to be a king. That means shut it and you follow. You don't even have the option for you to even argue. So they said, "Anna yakunu lahu al-mulku alayna wa nahnu ahqqu bil-mulki min." The offspring of Yahud, in which the kings usually come from, they objected and they said, how could it be possible that he becomes the king and we have more rights over the kingship because we are the children of the kings? children of the kings, not him. So they objected to Talut alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَمْ يُؤْتَى سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. Talut, he was a big man. He was so big physically. He was knowledgeable. He was a scholar from amongst Bani Israel. But he was poor. He was wise and smart, but didn't have much money. He was respected. He was respected for his wisdom, for his knowledge, for his forbearance. But he doesn't come from the offspring of the kinship, which is Yehuda, and at the same time, he's poor. So they said, what would Allah choose a man who doesn't come from this progeny, and at the same time, وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ, and he's poor. What was his trade? He used to tan color. He used to tan to color the textiles. That was his job. Some of them used to color. I don't know how they used to do it. These days we just got a game and buy it. So his trade was to color the textiles, to color the leather, the bell, a tanner, they call him. Like a simple trade. He was poor. He doesn't come from the family or the offspring of the kings. So the objector said, why would Allah choose him to be a king amongst us? He's not from the family of the kings, nor that he has money for people to respect him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ, Allah chose him. عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ, Allah chose him to be your king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had empowered him with knowledge and physical strength. So he was knowledgeable and he was strong. So one of the criteria of leadership, not Allah, he's the son of this person, or he comes from this offspring, or he comes from this family. Knowledge, strength, competency. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. On this verse alone, you can talk a lot about leadership, and you can talk about a lot about qualifications and criteria and competency and that. وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants kingdom to whoever He wants. It's not your choice, it's not mine, it's not his, it's not hers, it's not theirs, it's Allah. And Allah chose Talut to be your king. Your responsibility right now is for you to follow him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran Kareem. On the top of all this, their prophet Shamuel says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ. On the top of all this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Talut to be your king. And one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him to be your king, because he's knowledgeable, because he's honest, and because he's respectful, on the top of all that, he's physically strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also going to give you a sign. Allah's going to give you a sign that he is your king. Allah's going to show you a miracle that he is your king. What's this sign? أن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة. If you want me to prove to you that he is the chosen one, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be your king, not a prophet, Shamuel is the prophet, but Allah had chosen Talut to be the king of Bani Israel during that time and era, and one of the signs or one of the proofs that he is the chosen one, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look in the horizon. They looked in the horizon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to them the chest and the coffin that had those items and those leftovers of Musa alayhi salam and Harun. It came flying to them right in front of them. تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. The angels were carrying that chest and coffin, and it just came right in front of them. After what? Some narrations say for centuries it was gone. And that coffin was so significant to many Israel, they held it in high esteem and respect. It used to motivate them and inspire them, especially when they used to go out in any combat and jihad. It used to motivate them. And because they lost that chest and coffin, they lost hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to them Talut to be the king. On the top of all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved that he is the chosen king to them by bringing their tabut, their coffin and chest, right in front of them once again. So that inspired them. But how many people really fought with him and followed him? Not many. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Only a small number of people followed him. أَنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِي سَكِينَةٌ مِّمَّا مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم. So this tabut, this coffin has tranquility. Excuse me, tranquility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة. The angels are the ones who carried this coffin, and the angels are the ones who brought it to them. إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. This is a sign for you if you want to believe. So not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen the best one amongst you to be your king, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also consolidated them with proof and evidence. The proof and evidence that this coffin, that you've lost hope, after you lost it, Allah brought it back to you. Came flying to you. Who had possession of that coffin? The gigantic people, Amalika, the big boys that they had a combat with and they fought against many times and they lost. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them the coffin. So now what's next? Didn't you say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints upon you a king, you're going to fight with him? Go out and fight with him. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ. Now, we promised Allah and we made a commitment. You appoint a king amongst us, we're going to fight with him. We're going to fight with him till death. We're going to fight with him upholding the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and march and move forward. So Talut moved forward. He only had 8,000 people with him. What happened to the other 990,000? They stayed behind, debating amongst each other. No, no, no. Who's this guy? We're not going to follow him, even if we see things with our eyes. You know what? Might as well just kill him. That's their attitude. But Talut was respectful. Even though he was poor, and even though he doesn't come from a big tribe, but his physical appearance and knowledge forced people to respect him. So now the king of Bani Israel is Talut, and he's the one that Allah chose him. And the prophet and the messenger of Bani Israel of that time is Samuel, and he is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. Now you've got 8,000 people from Bani Israel, as you vowed, as you promised, pursue with what you had vowed and promised. March, ala barakatillah, to go and fight against who? The gigantic people that have lost many combats and battles against. Goliath, Jalut. And who's Goliath? You go and read about Goliath. Go and read about Jalut. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about Jalut. قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر. When they marched as an army, led by Talut, guided by Shamuel, and 8,000 believers who followed Talut and Shamuel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to put them through the test. What was the test? You could say whatever you want. At the end of the day, you need to prove yourself to Allah. You're a believer? Prove it to Allah. How are you going to prove it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You prove it to Allah azza wa jalla when Allah puts you through the test. So right now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Talut and his army through the test. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرْ. They've been marching and walking in the hot desert on foot for days. You could imagine how thirsty they became. They just want anything that will quench their thirst. They became so thirsty they're about to collapse. And when subhanAllah, the hope had come in which they're just about to arrive to a river, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them, no one is allowed to drink out of that river more than a handful. SubhanAllah. I understand when I'm not that thirsty, but I'm at the collapse. I'm not gonna drink a handful. I'm gonna drink the whole thing. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them. You are so thirsty, we know. You are so exhausted, we know. Now you're gonna go past a river. You are tested now. Allah commands you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرْ. You're going to come across now a river. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اِخْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ. Allah commands you that if you do drink from this river, you only drink one, only one handful. And those who drink more than one handful, go back where you came from. Allah doesn't want you anymore. Big test. And everyone thinks, you know what? Allah, I know myself, if I'm with Talut, 100% am I going to drink a handful? Allah, I'm going to pull off someone else's leg. Especially when you're so thirsty, so exhausted, and you're waiting for that moment, and you see a river right in front of you, and it's not a mirage. It's a real river with water in it. You're going to swim and dive in it. but not Allah's testimony. To see, do you stick by your word? Are you truly a man that sticks by his word? Allah is commanding you right now, even though you are so thirsty about to collapse, you only drink one handful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ. Most of them drank more than a handful, except a small number of them. How many? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us how many. 313. The same number of those who joined and participated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Badr. 330. So from a million, it went down to 8,000. From 8,000, it went down to 330. And I look at the drop. The drop doesn't get 10%, 20%. Every drop is 99.9%. So what happened to the other 7,600? What happened to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Talut and Shamuel to all those people who drank more than a handful to go back. We don't want it. Now the bigger test comes when you marched and you had 8,000 people. Your optimism and your hope that you're going to win this battle is higher than when you look around and there's only 330. And you are going to fight against who? You are going to fight against one of the superpowers back then, who is Goliath and his army. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. After he turned back, the vast majority, 90% of them, because they drank more than a handful, 330 looked around and said, قَالُوا لَنَا قَالُوا لَا تَعْقَتَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُوتَ. They start to talk to Talut and the Prophet. Shamuel said, we can't bear to fight Jalut. We had some hope when we're 8,000. Now there's 313 of us. It's not hope at all. How are we going to combat? How are we going to face Jalut? Jalut is so powerful, him and his army. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of us. We had some hope when we're 8,000. Now there's only 313 of us. There's no hope at all. So what was the response of Talut? قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. Those who had steadfastness and they were strong in their belief and iman, they responded back to their brothers and said, how many in many occasions in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a small group of people defeat a large number of people. Victory comes from who? From Allah. From Allah. Not your numbers, not your weaponry, not your experience, not your army. Victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, they made dua. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. When they stood in the face of Jalut, Goliath and his army, and you're talking about a very well-experienced, verse-equipped army, so big and humongous, you could imagine 330, probably standing in front of 330,000. Goliath, you're talking about a superpower. You're talking about thousands of soldiers in the army of Goliath. Against what? 313? Maybe that's the first time they ever come battle fight. Goliath, a powerful man, very fearful man. People just fear to hear the name of Goliath and his army. And now you've got those believing Muslims from Bani Israel are standing before Goliath and his army. 313. قالوا ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. When they stood face to face with the army of Goliath, they raised their hands to Allah and said, oh Allah, grant us patience and strengthen our faith and grant us victory against the kafirin. They knew that there's no way rationally they're going to win. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's impossible becomes possible. So now, you've got Goliath and his army facing Talut and his little tiny army. So who comes out? Goliath, the general of his army. And back then what was customary, not like these days, you've got the head of state, he's sitting back home and the rest of the army is fighting on the ground. Back then, the general comes out and it's a sword fight. And whoever wins, if this party wins, like it motivates the party that had won, if the leader kills the other leader. So Goliath comes out and he says, who's willing to fight me? So Talut says to the 313 soldiers, who is willing to come out and fight against Goliath? And everyone looks at Goliath. Shoot Goliath. Like, this guy. Look at him. Look at his size. Just the name petrifies you. Look at the weaponry and look at the armor that he's covering himself with. No one came out from the 313 with Talut. So Talut once again, Goliath is calling and screaming, who's willing to come out and fight me? So Talut turns around to his army, who's willing to come out? Yalla, come out and fight Goliath. Everyone is backing off.
No.
What are you talking about? We are humble people. We are like a sheep in front of this lion. So Talut, from his wisdom, he said, who is willing to come out and fight against Goliath Jalut? And I'll marry him to my daughter and I'll give him the kingdom after me. He had to persuade them. He needs to make an offer. Initially, no one wants to come out. What an embarrassment. If no one comes out, it's like you've lost the battle from the very beginning. You haven't even started yet. Who is willing to come out? And I marry off my daughter to him, and he is the king after me. He's the crown prince after me. So out of all people, the 313 that Talut and Shamuel alayhi salam had, the youngest and the shortest one came out. 16 years old. His name is Dawood. Not alayhi salam. Alayhi salam later on. Alayhi salam later on. The youngest one amongst them. The shortest one amongst them. And this poor fella, he comes out with what? Not a sword, with a slingshot. Goliath. Goliath. You know, the heavyweight is going to come and fight with this little weight. So when Goliath looked at him and said, who are you? He said, I'm the one that wants to fight you. So Goliath laughed and he said, I'm not interested in fighting you. You don't even have a weapon. Look what you've got in your hands. I'm not interested in killing you. So Dawood alayhi salam replied back. He said, but I am interested in killing you. I'm not interested in fighting you. But Dawood says, but I'm interested in fighting you. And he had three rocks in his slingshot. He turned up and he threw it right into his forehead. And subhanAllah, Allah killed him. Imagine. The youngest and the shortest one amongst his army destroys the biggest head. The moment that the army and the soldiers of Goliath had seen that, straight away they lose motivation. Straight away they become demotivated. And Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, they clashed with one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They won against Goliath and his army by the will of Allah. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدْ جَالُوتْ. Allah says, and Dawood killed Jalut. Dawood still not a prophet. Later on he becomes a prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they won against Jalut and their army. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them defeat Jalut and his army. A very small, tiny army defeated a big, powerful, large army by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. In how many occasions Allah makes a small army defeat a big army by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدُ جَالُوتُ. Allah says, and Dawood killed Jalut. Who's Dawood? One of the youngest, if not the youngest boy in the army, but believer. He stood firm from the very beginning. Never backed down. And he continued with Talut from the very beginning, even to drink only one handful. And he stuck to it. And when it came to the reality, he was courageous. And he was the only one to stand in the face of Jalut. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him kill Jalut. So what happened after that? Talut fulfilled his promise. Talut fulfilled his promise. He married off his daughter to him. And after Talut passed away, who became the king? Dawood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Dawood with the kingdom. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ and the prophecy on the top of it. So now he's the king and the prophet together once again. وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Dawood what Allah wants to teach him. So once again, Bani Israel has been reunited under one king and prophet. And during the time of Dawood, It was a pinnacle time for Bani Israel. Then after Dawud, who comes? Sulaiman. The most prosperous and fruitful time that Bani Israel had probably ever encountered. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merged the prophecy and the kingship once again in one man. Who's that man? Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam. A great prophet and messenger, leader and king of Bani Israel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunites Bani Israel under his leadership. A great man with great stories, many things to hear about. Inshallah, we'll talk about it next week. Jazakumullah khair, subhanakallah hamdak. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
I wanna be in Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. Pious person's destiny. Inshallah, Jannah.